This is Mae Brussel, and it's broadcast number 664, August 27th, 1984, Side 2. I want to bring up two subjects that are literally flooding the news and just briefly try to expose the way entrapment works, the dirty tricks work, with CIA Director William Casey and his expertise going back to Watergate. The whole Watergate team working with Richard Nixon moved on to Ronald Reagan's White House in every sense of the word, and their dirty tricks are becoming visible all of the time. One has to do with Senator Mark Hatfield, who is running for the Senate in Oregon, who is a Republican but is one of the liberal Republicans who's marked, similar to Lowell Weicker, to be removed. The Young Turks want them out of the way. He's an ecologist and a fairly decent man who's been there with seniority. Now, there are a lot of stories how this particular Greek gentleman influenced him and gave his wife a hunk of money a few years back in order to influence the government to put a pipeline, an oil pipeline, which indeed went through, but had given them, Hatfield, some money, which last week they just coughed up a $55,000 loan they had to take to put to a charity out of embarrassment. Doesn't solve anything. But this particular gentleman from Greece, Mr. Basil Sakos, T-S-A-K-O-S, and you may remember the columns starting a while back. Jack Anderson's been carrying them, and then it developed into the news. This is one of Jack Anderson's great stories, like the ITT, the Deed of Baird, only this time it's the Democrats that he's working on. And in the matter of bringing up the arrangement that Mr. Sakos came to Washington, D.C., and he went to the Senator Hatfield and wanted him to meet people in Washington and get this oil pipeline from Saudi Arabia across Africa so they wouldn't depend on the Persian Gulf. The government actually went along with it. But Jack Anderson has a story about the seedy connections. He's been doing the seedy connections of this Basil Sakos, who isn't merely an oil engineer. He gets high commissions and sets people up, and he's an international arms dealer, similar to Samuel Cummings, whose headquarters are in Monte Carlo and lives in London. And it tells about his trying to sell Greece weapons tanks from West Germany, 100 Leopard tanks, and wanting a $10 million commission. And it tells about his role with Swiss bank accounts and deposits for introducing various people to the arrangements he makes for weapons. And just this last week, Jack Anderson had a story that when Sakos came to this country in 1980, he hooked up with an entrepreneur named Frank Rosenbaum. They were introduced by an ex-congressman, ex-convict Cornelius Gallagher, a Democrat from New Jersey, who figured in the influence buying of Tongson Park. So Sakos is linked to these Korean connections, again, the Reverend Moon connections, and the influence buying in Congress. And it also goes on that records of Mr. Rosenbaum show that he and Mr. Sakos met with representatives of Rockwell and a French firm to discuss the sale of security surveillance to Saudi Arabia. So he's involved not only with Saudi Arabia and Tongson Park, but he's a close associate with an ex-CIA agent who arranged the meeting and to have Sakos represent Rockwell in selling aircraft and missiles to Morocco, Tunisia, and Abu Dhabi. So DHABI. Well, he also was trying to work with General Dynamics and sell their tanks to Greece. Rockwell International is represented by William French Smith. Frank Rosenbaum has links to, and these associates of this Gallagher, to Tongson Park. And it's very easy that they would latch themselves on to a Senator, Mark Hatfield, because every time there's an election, every few years, congressmen, representatives, or the Senate, the Young Americans for Freedom are targeting those people to get them out of office, and I mentioned this before, so they have control of the entire Congress. The New York Times had a story last week. Ex-CIA official tells of request to help win support for the pipeline. That's Admiral Bobby Inman, who is National Security Advisor. He's in charge of the National Security Agency. He was Deputy Director of the CIA. 2 years ago, he was asked to help win the United States government support. from Basil H. Sackos, that same Greek entrepreneur who gave this money to the wife of Mark Hatfield. Now, she's a real estate agent and allegedly gave her this huge amount, $55,000, to help promote the venture or find an apartment at the Watergate Hotel. Now, I've quoted Robinson Jeffers a lot of time that it's not compulsory to take these deals, that you don't have to. In his poetry, he writes that there's nothing compulsory about corruption. And she didn't have to take the money, but involved in getting this pipeline, there's Mr. Inman from the old Task Force 157, who worked with Robert Keith Gray, George Bush, close links to the CIA continuously, Edwin Wilson, Frank Chirple, the whole gang, and they latch on to the Hatfields, who accept the money, and now he's in deep trouble. He's running for the Senate. He's in deep trouble. He fell for the bait, and these people had all the contacts with General Dynamics. Again, General Dynamics was in Dallas, Texas. The role in the assassination involved Max Clark, the chief of security there, a friend of Lee Oswald's friend, in quotes, Marina Oswald and Gally Clark. General Dynamics, Rockwell, Bobby Inman, the Tongson Park. Poor Hatfields get trapped in there. Don't look into what's happening, and any more than the French, when they celebrated the Nazis leaving, followed up in the years to come how their police departments, again, were to be run by the Nazi cells. Now, another person who got sucked in two times was Geraldine Ferraro. The first was the election unit in 1979, the Federal Election Commission questioned her about the money that she got to get into the House of Representatives. The agency folded over their investigation. There was $109,000 in illegal family loans to her when she went into Congress. And one of the members on that commission is Mr. Friedersdorf, Friedersdorf, who later served as President Reagan's congressional liaison, who knew that this thing could stir up again with Geraldine Ferraro. They may not know that she would run for vice president, but they knew she'd run in the House of Representatives. So instead of investigating it, they gave her a little fine of $250, and her husband got a fine of $500 for the campaign. But that's not the point. They had all this information, and they kept it. The illegal loans, sat on it, let her be in the House of Representatives, build herself up, and just as they had Mr. Ingalls nominated or supposed to be the vice president with George McGovern, and then they pull out the evidence, John Ehrlichman, that he had electroshock in a mental hospital, and then the Democrats were left without a vice president or disloyal to Angleton and so forth. The San Francisco Examiner has a story, August 17th. Federal Election Commission wasn't happy with Ferraro deal. New York Times, August the 16th, the Ferraro loans. And next week I'll do more if I have time. And Patricia Barrio, the press secretary she hired for, well, I'll just mention it quickly now. She hired her as soon as she was going to tour for her campaigns. And she fired her last week. Barrio was the one who gave Newsweek the story about the funds. Patricia Barrio was married in Rome. She went to Michigan and studied her newspaper work. Was married in Rome after a three-week visit to an Italian there who came to this country and worked for the Drug Enforcement Agency until 1975 under Nixon, under Hunt and Liddy and Caulfield and the Dirty Tricks group that was in the White House under Richard Nixon, Peter Byrne and the whole group, the DEA. And she divorced him. He's the father of two sons. And after she divorced him, shortly after that, he was arrested coming from Mexico to Texas with cocaine, and he was put in a Texas jail where he was given a peanut butter sandwich. Maybe you remember the story of this Barrio and can dig up some old articles about that. I have it in my files under the mafia, and I'll have to pull that out for you. He's the fellow that ate the cyanide sandwich, or strychnine, and he ate a half a sandwich. It keeled over in a coma, and 6 months later, he died with links to all the high dealers in and out of the White House, and I'm sure down to the Bolivian connections and the Operation Intercept of Nixon, the Mafia, the Nazis, and the Vatican. That is the woman that was hired to carry the press campaign and travel with Geraldine Ferraro. But after several weeks, she fired her because the woman had given a leaked story to Newsweek, which is typical of what I would expect of this situation, and she got burned also. Because of the Ferraro story, smearing her and getting so much news attention, it's also important to know that if Gary Hart had gotten the nomination, he was going to suggest her as vice president also, that the gun was taken away from him. That's who he wanted, and Gary Hart, of course, is close to Mr. Mankiewicz and Robert Keith Gray and the office in Washington, D.C., that is the extension of Paul Axalt and William Casey and the CIA. So the Democratic Party has a lot of time bombs on it to take away, divert, make them defensive, and smear them. Knowing her background, knowing the husbands of Caro and who he rented to, now they can pull these stories out and leak them on forever. Now, I want to get to the John DeLorean story, and on the sheet that accompanies this broadcast, I put a little article that was in the Los Angeles Times this week. It was about the co-defendants of John DeLorean that are waiting their sentencing, and I wanted you to have the article instead of quoting it out of context. William Morgan Hetrick was the fellow that was arrested with John DeLorean. He is going to be sentenced now. He has not yet been sentenced. He was described always as one of the busiest drug smugglers in California, and he was never brought in. Part of the plea bargaining, and this is why I wanted you to have the article, part of the plea bargaining was, don't arrest my sons. And that came out only in one other article a while back, and I want you to see it, because the sons have never been arrested. You've never seen their name. It's been 2 years in the news. And Hetrick's sons, Buzz and Jinx Hendricks and Hetrick, and his stepson, James Coward, in return, the government promised not to prosecute his sons. Well, what were the sons arrested for? If I'll take all the rap, give up my banks, the Cayman Islands, my airplane line, all 5 airplanes, 12 cars, my accounts in 7 Southern California banks, if you don't take the 3 sons, and I wanted you to see that because that came out this week. Now, that is consistent with what I was told and had on the air for 2 years, the information that along with those 3 sons, that Edwin Wilson's son was with them. And that Hetrick was arrested, that the cocaine that he had, that $24 million worth of cocaine, was cocaine that he did bring in from South America that I was told came from Klaus Barbie. And once again, I'll get in touch with various people that I contacted a while back. I have on the sheet Mr. Ogleston from Detroit, Michigan. That was August the 10th, 1983, about how Hetrick, where he got this $24 million worth of cocaine, and Murray Sams, an attorney in Miami representing a multi-million-dollar suit against John DeLorean. And I sent him a long letter, and I have copies of those letters and the information I sent them just a year ago this week, or in 2 days from now. It was August the 29th. The link of Klaus Barbie, Martin Bormann, Joseph Mengele to Los Angeles, New York, USA cocaine traffic. Now, if my sources were correct about the arrests, the fact that his sons were arrested is here. They've never seen their name. I've never seen it in the paper for any reason at all. Why would they hide it if the sons were brought in with him? But my source, not the arrest of Hetrick is important with the sons, but it's important because I was told by men who use Hetrick as their pilot that the cocaine came from Klaus Barbie, and we have to reconstruct the chronology of this story because my sons, as the plea bargain part is there. The San Francisco Examiner has a picture of William Morgan Hetrick described as one of the biggest drug dealers on the West Coast. He made a plea bargain in June of 83. It doesn't tell why. Now, he made a plea bargain to testify against DeLorean, but you noticed in the trial, he never took the stand, not once. And why would they let the sons off if he didn't take the stand? I went back to the early articles of the plea bargaining that I had in June. One was in the Los Angeles Herald, where it says, in the major development, Mr. William Morgan Hetrick will testify for reduced charges. And I had this on the air a year ago, but I want to repeat it now because of DeLorean getting off. He's going to get reduced charges. The U.S. Attorney's Office agreed to drop 2 of the most serious charges against Hetrick in return for his guilty plea, which include a continual criminal enterprise charge, and they're going to try to give him a light sentence on dealing and distributing and so forth the cocaine and minor tax and currency violation charges. But the plea bargaining did not involve testifying against John DeLorean. That's over. It involved not having his sons, that was in the news this week. The Herald, Los Angeles Herald, said that he would testify if he was called as a witness. He would not take the Fifth to hide any incriminating information. He would do it, but they wouldn't dare put him on the stand and never ask where the cocaine came from. They couldn't possibly do it. The Los Angeles Times has a story with no mention of the sons last June, and how Hetrick said, I will take the stand and tell you anything you want to know, because he was arrested with DeLorean with the $23 million. Wall Street Journal has the story about John DeLorean, who appeared with two of his co-defendants. One agreed to plead guilty and testify against him. William Moore, Morgan Hetrick said that he would testify against him, and this was in all of the papers. Now, the Los Angeles Herald, June 14th, did mention that as part of the deal, the government agreed to drop a continuing enterprise charge against him, adding two felony tax evasions. They agreed not to prosecute Hetrick's three sons. Not to prosecute the three sons. And then this article goes on to say, deals are the grease that makes the system work, says a dope lawyer who specializes in making deals with federal prosecutors. Never, not once in a decade of practice, has one of his big-time dope-dealing clients ever gone to trial. Hetrick was known as well as anyone as a big-time dealer. The former business partner of Hetrick was Robert Durand, a millionaire cocaine trafficker. Now, Durand goes back to DeLorean Motors on the board of the Durand Corporation as Henry Bushkin, the attorney and partner of John DeLorean. And I hope I have time just briefly, I guess I will, to talk about the death of Truman Capote in the home of Joanne Carson this week. Robert Durand is a millionaire cocaine trafficker. He was under investigation by the Drug Enforcement Agency. And remember, a year ago, I had this with you on the air, and through his attorney is Stephen Wilson, currently Hetrick's attorney, the same attorney for Robert Durand, who is a partner and uses on his board of directors Henry Bushkin, John DeLorean's partner. They contacted the U.S. Attorney's Office and offered a deal in return for immunity from prosecution. Durand supplied the Drug Enforcement Agency with a dozen names involved. One of them, again, was James Timothy Hoffman, I mentioned, who was in drug trafficking, who was working with John DeLorean. Hetrick is another link in a chain of deals between law enforcement agencies and the drug traffic, deals with drug traffickers in the federal court system, and most of them are prosecuted but make deals so that you don't know where they are or who they are. And this was the story that not only mentioned in June of 83, the only other article I have on the sons that were the reason for Hetrick plea bargaining, but the relationship of Hetrick to Robert Durand. There are others, but that is the most blatant and open of the links of Durand, who later I charted out for you, linked to Johnny Carson and Henry Bushkin. Now, the story of Edwin Wilson and the son has never been developed. If the son was involved with those three sons who are in the news just once this week and once in June. There was a story in the Houston Post, rather, 1983, plot to kill seven in trial of ex-CIA agent, alleged. And this is about the time when Edwin Wilson hired hit squads to kill two Washington prosecutors and five federal witnesses against him. Two of his major witnesses or more have been killed. We've done broadcasts on that. But the government charged that Wilson arranged the delivery of a $10,000 down payment for the murders through an intermediary along with a hit list. The courier was his son, and he was prosecuted for having a hit list, and this is the only mention I have of Edwin Wilson using his son. Now, that son has never been charged as a courier with a plot to kill. He also had a plot and hired somebody to kill his wife to break her neck, snap her neck and break her, because she was giving him a hard time. But to say where the son is, I wouldn't even guess. But the missing factor is, if the Wilson son was involved with Hetrick's sons, then absolutely the Claus Barbie arrest followed right on top of the DeLorean arrest and the deals that were made. if you get those charts that I have on these various gentlemen that we've had on other broadcasts, you'll get the chronology of the relationship of these people. August the 8th, 1983, it was broadcast number 609. I had have the chart of Johnny Carson with the Commercial Bank of California, the links to Henry Bushkin, his partner and his current attorney. And Henry Bushkin is a registered agent for Robert Duran under a company called Radkin Estate. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up at this time, and we did quite a bit of it before, is that they're still looking for that hidden money. And I keep saying over and over again, go, when I told the FBI and the attorneys in Miami, go to the Swiss bank account in Zurich, Switzerland. Here are the dates. Here is the courier. I have the name of the man who took it. He works for the Associated Press. He's a high-up officer. I gave the name of the man the courier. They could check his passport because of the links of Duran to Bushkin, Bushkin to Carson, and all of them with DeLorean Motors over and over again linked to that group. Now, in checking out this money, and they're trying to look for it, I have to repeat the death of Colin Chapman that I had on broadcast 576. Hetrick and was arrested with DeLorean October the 10th, and then a few months later, Klaus Barbie was arrested, picked up and sent to France. As I say, still not on trial. And just in that time period, December the 17th, Colin Chapman died. And keeping the current news up, I just want to repeat the story of Colin Chapman, described in the New York Times as a designer and builder of automobiles whose ideas changed the face of Grand Prix racing. He died in England, apparently of a heart attack. He was 54 years old. He was involved in the development of the DeLorean sports car. The DeLorean company, in 1981 accounts, released after a long delay, disclosed that Lotus, that's the agency they both took money out of, had paid for engineering work for the John DeLorean car, but that the sports car was being built in Ireland and the funds were paid by way of a Swiss-based Panamanian company run by DeLorean distributor. Mr. Chapman, while he was still living, denied having any interest in the Panamanian company, but had been expected to be challenged on the John DeLorean relationship at the stockholder meeting of the Lotus car. Mr. DeLorean is awaiting trial on cocaine charges. Well, Mr. Chapman never testified about the Lotus Engineering Company. He was dead shortly after DeLorean was arrested and just in between before Klaus Barbie was arrested. Now, I was particularly upset about the death of Truman Capote. Just coincidentally, he was killed. I think he was killed or died. I wouldn't say who served his food. I don't know who was in the kitchen. He was the home of Joanne Carson, Johnny Carson's ex-wife. The paper this morning, the San Francisco Chronicle, and all of you saw it coast to coast, autopsy fails to find what killed Capote. The Los Angeles County's coroner, after 3 hours, came to an inconclusive decision. Capote, 59, died at noon Saturday at the home of Joanne Carson, a close friend who was divorced from talk show host Johnny Carson in 1972. Was that an error? 1982, they split up right after all of this hit the fan, and they move it 10 years away so that she's really not touching the Carson-Duran-Hetrick connections or Bushkin. You understand? Was that a typographical error that they divorced in 72? They split rapidly at that time. It said Capote had been battling alcohol and drug addiction for decades. Where did he get his drugs? Where did John Belushi get his fatal drugs? He's a little tired. He goes to bed. Police Commander William Booth, the old expert who's always quoted by the LAPD, there was no evidence of foul play. Well, nobody knows better than Edwin Wilson and that group that there are drugs that they've administered for years that have no trace of chemicals in their system. So while they look for these traces and they know they won't be there, they'll scrounge around and see if maybe there was something else. Or it said there was no trauma, no cerebral hemorrhage, and no, in quotes, classic heart attack. They didn't put an apparent heart attack this time. They put a classic heart attack. But Truman Capote was a guy who's close to Princess Radziwill, Jackie Onassis's sister, to the monarchies, the deposed monarchies around Monte Carlo. The society said he has a big mouth. I have to get his last book. It was suppressed, and an article in New Yorker was really hushed up because he named certain high people he wasn't supposed to talk about. Truman Capote understood the society circle very well, and I had particular reasons to be very sad at his death and also Tennessee Williams, who was murdered just recently this past year. The circumstances of being in Bel Air, just a few blocks from Larry Flynt's home, where the Mitchell, where Bell and Gordon Novell and G. Gordon Liddy all moved in. He's at Joanne Carson's home. He's been addicted to drugs for years. He lies down and dies, and of course they're not going to find anything in that body that they can confirm was one way or the other. Story that I pulled out just early in 1984, Johnny Carson, not too long ago, and Johnny Carson sues the National Enquirer for $50 million. They published a false story of his settlement with his wife. They said that she got $42 million, which is neither here nor there. The suit was filed by Henry Bushkin, again, the attorney that is on the board of Mr. Durant's company, the big drug connection, and Bushkin, he's still representing Johnny Carson, always will. This is a story about their divorce settlement, but that divorce happened when all the cocaine connections came apart right after Belushi was dead in L.A., and these links to South America, every time they come up or the deaths come up of primary witnesses, I will bring it out because we're right now at the door of Hollywood and New York, the heavy cocaine users, the people who have to kill, hush up, make deals, get them off. Courts can't run. This is what is going on. Now, in the news this past week, the Bolivian government is cracking down on the Nazi groups that have been doing the cocaine connection. Is there a coincidence between wanting now to get the Nazis? The United States was involved in an attempted coup where they would have worked with the Nazis and Klaus Barbie if they could. That was in the news just last August the 10th, 1984, and I had on the broadcast how the CIA had actually kidnapped the president of Bolivia and released him, and now he is cracking back. Well, the way he can crack back is to stop the cocaine connections that fund the Nazis. The New York Times has in a story this week, August 21st, tell of destroying two factories and seizing cocaine in Bolivia. Mr. Ali Parada is reported to work closely with Mr. Gomez. This is one of the people that are crying down. He is hiding, and it has been indicted in Miami on cocaine trafficking. Mr. Arce Gomez took part in the military coup in 1980 and is interior minister and paramilitary with the Nazi groups whose activities have been financed with cocaine, money, Bolivian drug enforcement officials say. So the New York Times this week is referring, or this past week, to the Nazi connections to cocaine in Bolivia. And I believe that as DeLorean money is investigated more and more, and the courts are going into it now, there's going to be a lot more heat on these various connections if they're allowed to go to trial. Now, they may hush up and let the statute of limitations run out in Detroit because it's so important to miss these connections. To repeat what I had, this was on broadcast 608. Last August, John DeLorean was arrested. I had November, it was October 19th, 1982, with Mr. Hetrick. Klaus Barbie was arrested in January of 83. 3 months later, Colin Chapman died December the 12th, 82. So the DeLorean Hetrick arrest, Chapman is dead from the letters to hide the Panamanian Swiss money. Barbie, who allegedly is involved with Mengele's and Bormann with a deposit, DeLorean's deposit in the Swiss bank in Zurich. DeLorean is pulled in January 83 and is sitting there, it would be almost 2 years and not to trial. And I mentioned that the Zurich bank and the numbered bank account that was put in Zurich, not the exact number, but the dates it was deposited. Now, the Hendrick story and the way the rest was set up, I've detailed for you, but to run now in the time that's allotted, the Detroit case may sour the DeLorean victory. You've seen some of those articles that the Lotus Car Company is involved in the investigation. The money went to GPD between mid-September 1979. It was supposed to go to the Lotus Car. Money from Panama went to Switzerland. It was supposed to go to the car company in England that was helping design the car. The money was never paid to Lotus, and Mr. Chapman died. Our time is out now, so I'll continue on this in the weeks to come because I want to pursue it till we find Mengele's Barbie and Hollywood cocaine all tied together. This is Mae Brussels.